To the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's stand together if you're able, and we're going to start reading in verse number 9. It was last week's text. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, may become guilty before God. Father, I pray that you bless the time of the scriptures here this morning. We are so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and grace. But Lord, until we can fully comprehend and receive that mercy and that grace, we must truly realize the spiritual depravity and condition that we're in, that we are under condemnation, that we've broken your commandments, we've broken your laws, we've been disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. And Lord, once we realize where we are, once we realize the sentence, we can realize the desperate need to be pardoned, Lord, to be forgiven, to be justified, to be declared righteous. And Lord, there's only one way to be declared righteous. There's only one way to be justified. And may that way be magnified here this morning. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now what? We've all sinned. If you're a sinner, would you say amen? Amen? There is none righteous, no, not one. And once the sin is presented, the Bible says in chapter number 3, verse 20, that every mouth may be stopped. We were in Proverbs last week where most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? He goes on and talk about even a child is known by his doings. And so we can talk all day about how good we are, but our deeds prove that we are not good, that we are not righteous, that we are not holy, that we are disobedient, that we are sinners. And the Bible says that when the law is presented, that every mouth will be stopped. There'll be no proclaiming of our goodness, and all the world will become guilty before God. The Bible says, whereby is one man sinned, enter the world, and so death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Since the time of Adam and since the sin of Adam, every one of us has been born sinners. We confirmed that we are sinners because all of us have sinned. We've broken God's commandments. We've broken his law. And therefore, under the judgment of a holy and righteous God, every single one of us is guilty. Guilty. And once we understand that condition, we have to ask this question, well, how can I, a sinner, a guilty sinner, be justified before God? Is that the question? How can I be made or declared righteous before God if I am a sinner, and I am, and I'm guilty? See, there's a misconception that God is just the God of love, that God would overlook our sins. The Bible says in Numbers 14, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering, and he is, and of great mercy, and he is, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. Yep, he does. And by no means clearing the guilty. Meaning if we're guilty, he's not going to overlook our guilt and just let us into heaven. That's not going to happen. And back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, here was the law given to the judges. Deuteronomy 25 verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Now, isn't that what we need in our courtrooms today? We need a judge that will justify the righteous, but he will condemn the wicked. But the problem is that all of us are wicked. meaning all of us are under condemnation. So again, the question has to be, how can I be made right before God? How can I be just? How can I be declared righteous before the God that I'm going to give an account of? How can I be just? Now, this is not a new question. Since Adam and Eve sinned, this was the primary question. Can I submit to you, this is the most important question in all the world and all of eternity. How can a sinner be justified before God? One of the earliest books that was written, I believe, was the book of Job. And Job, in that early book, wrestles with that question. Let me show you what I mean. Keep your finger there in Romans and go back to Job chapter number 9. Job chapter number 9. Job chapter 9 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Job chapter number 9. And watch this question that Job asks. In Job chapter number 9, look with me at verse number 1. Job 9 and verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, if you're there, say amen. Verse 2. If we contend with him, Job chapter number 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, verse 2, I know it is so of a truth, but, here's the question, how should man be what? Just with God. That's the question. One of the oldest books written, how can a man be just with God? I'm a sinner. Now look at this. You're talking about what kind of God are we talking about? Verse 3. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him, one of a thousand. He is wise in heart, mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. This is God. This is the God we're going to stand before of. Verse 8, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcticus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. This is the God that spoke the stars into existence. This is the God that can move mountains. Verse 10, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Verse 15, whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with tempests and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. If of judgment, who shall set a time to plead? How can I plead with this God? Verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, I shall also prove me perverse. He said, how can I be just before God? He's the God that causes the mountains to form and the mountains to tremble. He's the God that spoke the stars into existence. He's the God that commands the sun and it rises up. He's the God that controls the sand, the sea and the wind. He's the God that controls everything. And if I would stand before him, how can I plead before this God? How can I stand before this God and plead my own case? Even if I felt like I was just, I can't justify myself. Verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, I shall also prove me perverse. I have no standing before this God. There's no way that I can plead my case before him because I am a sinner. I'm guilty before this holy and just God. So again, the question is, well, then how can a man justify himself? How can a man plead his case before God? How can a sinner enter heaven? How can he? Years and years ago, I was witnessing to my grandfather. As far as I know, he never got saved. It was really hard to do his funeral. And I went witnessing to him. I said, Pa, why won't you accept Christ as your Savior? He goes, religion. He goes, let me answer this question, Ken. If God was true, then why are there so many different religions? Why are there so many different beliefs if God's true, if the Bible's right? Why are there so many different ways people say you can get to heaven? It's a good question. I said, Pa, the problem is that all these religions are not following God. They're not following God's word. I said, if they weren't following God's word, they might have a little bit different name. They might not have the same exact denomination. But if everyone truly followed the word of God, their beliefs would be the same. And truly, they would realize that salvation is only by one way. You believe that? You see, what is religion? Religion is man-made. Man-made religion is man trying to figure out what they can do and what they cannot do in order to be justified when they stand before God. Is that right? Religion says, well, you need to show up on this day and you might have a chance to be justified before God. If you get baptized in this water, you might be justified before God. If they sprinkle you on your forehead, if you're christened, you might be able to be justified before God. If you don't eat certain meat on certain days, you might be justified before God. If you go to certain cities around the world and you pray a certain way in a certain direction, you might be justified before God. So man is trying to figure out the things they can do and the things they cannot do to be justified before God. Well, I'm not concerned about what man says. I'm not concerned about what religion says. I'm concerned about what God says I have to do, what God says you have to do, what God says the world has to do in order to be right with him. So where do we go for that? Do we go to the church constitution? Do we go to the Vatican? Do we go to Mecca? Do we go to Washington, D.C.? Yeah, you knew that one wasn't right. We go to the Word of God. And when you're going to the Scriptures and you're looking at how can a man be just before God? That's the great question. And we're looking at Scripture. The Bible is very clear. But there's no better place to go to find out how a man can be right with God than our text this morning in Romans chapter number 3. So let's go back there. Keep your finger there in Job because we may be back there. Romans chapter number 3. In all the Bible, there's no better place to go to answer this question than the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Therefore, now this is based upon all the things he just said. You are guilty before God. You have broken his law. You've broken his commandments. You are guilty. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, how can I be justified by God? Well, he says, first of all, you're not justified by the deeds of the law. You're not justified. Now, in the book of Romans, when I said it's the best place to go to find out about being justified, justified is used, or form of justified, is used 18 times in the book of Romans. Okay, so this is a great place to go. He talks about being justified, talking about how he justifieth, how a man can be just, and how God is a justifier. And the first thing we find out about being justified before God is this. Number one, justification is apart from the law. Justification is a part, meaning it's not part of, it's not brought about by the law. If we're going to be justified, it is on the side of the law. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse number 23. Let's go back there. Romans 2, verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast in the law. Well, I'm going to be justified by the law. I know the law. I keep the law. I'm going to be justified by the law. Well, there was a problem, verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. We can't be justified by the law because we have all broken the law. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, I might get this more than you do, maybe because I'm a preacher, but I'll get this pushback every now and then. And someone will say to me, well, who are you to say what I'm doing's wrong? You think just because you're a pastor, you can tell me that my lifestyle's wrong or that this is sin and that this isn't right? And who are you to tell me? Well, I'm nobody. If I'm going to tell you you're doing something wrong, I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, on the extreme of that, there's some places you can go, you could be here there this morning, and they'll never tell you that you've ever done anything wrong. That you're all good. That, boy, you're wonderful. Matter of fact, come to church next Sunday, I'm going to tell you how to get a better parking space at Walmart next week. That's going to be the whole sermon, how God can bless your life. No. No, I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. Probably more than you want to hear. Why? Because we're preaching the Word of God. It's not man that determines what's right and wrong. It's not the law that determines. It's not Congress that determines what's right and wrong. It's not society. It's not Hollywood. It's not a conservative party. It's not the news media. What determines what is right and wrong is what does God say? So what is sin? I'll tell you what sin is. Sin is transgressing or breaking God's law. It's falling short of God's law. It's going beyond God's law. It's disobeying God's law. That is what sin is. And by the way, there's a lot more laws and commandments and precepts and commandments than just 10 of them. That's what sin is. And so the very thing you're breaking, you're trusting to get you to heaven, doesn't work that way. You've broken God's law. You've broken God's commandments. Look at chapter number 7, Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see, the law tells us what's right. The law tells us what's wrong. And when we realize what the law says, then and only then do we realize that we've broken that law. We've broken that law. I remember I was driving in Florida. Iowa. Big difference. I was driving in Iowa, and I was pulling my trailer. We were going to a church Sunday morning. I was going there to preach. Got my family, got my trailer, and we're driving. And how many of you have ever been to Iowa before? Okay, well, you know there's nothing in Iowa, right? There's nothing there. It's cornfields, all it is. Cornfields. It's flat. I mean, it just corn. Am I doing this justice? Those of you who have been in Iowa, am I telling you the truth? That's all it is, corn. And so I'm driving. And am I driving fast? I don't think I'm driving fast. I think I'm just, what am I going to hit? Right? Straight runs. I mean, just straight runs. And so I'm driving, and all of a sudden in my side mirror, I see a police officer pulling behind me. And, okay. Did you ever have that happen? And I was, okay, how fast am I going? What's the speed limit? I haven't seen a speed limit sign in miles. I'm trying to look at the speed limit. I can't find a speed limit. And I'm thinking, please don't pull me over. Please don't pull me over. And I take a left. He takes a left. I take a right. He takes a right. Please don't pull me over. Lord, please don't let him pull me over. Well, I'm getting pretty close to the church. And the closer I get to the church, I'm like, okay, Lord, if he's going to pull me over, let him pull me over now. Okay? Not when we're close to the church. Please, pull me over now. No. So I pull in right in front of the church. He pulls in behind me. Woo! Hits this. I'm already stopped. He hits this siren. The lights are. And I see in the church, people are going to the front door. They're going to the front door of the church building. They're all pointing. Stop pointing. And he came out. The officer came out and said, sir, where are you going? I said, right there. He said, you were speeding back there. And I didn't want to say, well, what is there to hit, officer? I didn't say that. I said, oh, was I? Yeah, it's a pretty big rig, you know, you need to really watch it, and I'm gonna let you off the hook. I'm gonna give you a warning here. And I said, oh, okay, thank you so much. Well, then I had to go into the church building. My family walk in there. I don't know these people. They don't know me. They're all looking at me, and the pastor's son said, hey, oh, there he is. He said, yeah, my son asked me. He said, who's the policeman arresting today? He said, oh, just Evangelist Sparks, no big deal. Who's getting arrested? You know, we think we're going along. We think we're doing okay till the law shows up. When the law shows up, you start going, oh, wait a minute. Wait, am I? Do I have my seatbelt on? Whoa, am I going to speed limit? Whoa, wait a minute. You know, did I ever get that turn signal fixed? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my inspection's dead. Oh, wait a minute. When the law appears is when we find out that our conscience is activated and we determine whether or not we are guilty. So the law does its part, saying, listen, this is what you're supposed to do, but you are not doing it. Therefore, we are all found guilty. And the thing that shows our guilt is not going to get us justified. No, not going to get us justified at all. The Bible says in James 2, verse number 9, But if we have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The law convinces you, the law convicts you of breaking the law of sin. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. All. Well, I've only broken this part, and I've only done this, and you're guilty of all. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. When God's law enters in, we realize, you know what, I am a liar, and I am lustful, and I am covetous, and I am bitter, and I am unfaithful. And I have stolen, and I have lied, and I have been unfaithful. I am guilty. That's the purpose of the law. Now go back to Romans chapter 3, look at verse number 21. So verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's not the way you're going to be justified. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law brings to the surface our own sin and our own iniquity. Verse 20, but now, I love that phrase, but now we're going to get an answer. Okay? Up until this point, it's all been problems. I've broken God's law. I'm guilty. I need to be justified. I can't be justified myself. There's none righteous. No, not one. Well, what's the answer? Verse number 21. But now, listen, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So here's a clue. He's giving us a clue, if we will, of how we can be justified in his sight. He said, I'm going to give you a hint. Now, the Old Testament comes to bear, and the answer to your justification has been revealed now, but it has been on display the entire Old Testament. The law, that's the book of Moses, and the prophets, the whole Bible. So the whole Old Testament gave us man a clue and a direction of how to be justified before a holy and righteous God. From the time Adam and Eve sinned, from the very time God cursed them, in Genesis chapter number 3, he says, listen, I'm going to have an answer to this sin problem. That a woman, that I'm going to crush the head of the devil, the head of Satan, from the seed of the woman. There's your first clue. So here, class, what is the whole Old Testament about? What is the consistency? What is the point of the whole Old Testament? I would submit to you there are two themes that weave throughout the whole Old Testament that tie together that he's about to reveal. Well, what is that thing? Well, first of all, it's Christ. From Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, but the Bible says this in John 5, verse 46. Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses wrote about me. In the book of Luke, chapter number 29, Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the things, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It's all about Christ. And then in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus says the Old Testament testifies about me. So here's a clue. Here you are. Just put your thing caps on here for a minute. All right, well, then how can I be justified? I've broken God's law. I am guilty. I've broken his commandments. And my good deeds and my works won't save me. Well, how can I be saved? Well, here's a clue. We've been talking about it since Genesis chapter 3. Right? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. Let me give you the great example. Go back to the book of Job. I thought we might make it back there. Go back to Job. Job, chapter number 9, verse number 25. Remember, he asks, how should a man be just before God? That's his question. He talks about how great God is. I can't answer him. I can't prevail against him. I can't prove my justness before him. Job chapter number 9, verse number 25. Now, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to its prey. Job is saying here, my life is short. and it's going to quickly come to an end, like a peregrine falcon can move at 200 miles an hour. That's like, seems like my life is moving that fast. Hey, how many of you feel like your life is moving that fast? Just 200 miles an hour. We were in there praying this morning before the service, and Kevin and I got up, you know, we're kneeling down praying. Kevin and I got up, and I went, ugh. And Kevin went, ugh. Caleb just sprung up. I said, Caleb, you didn't moan, you didn't grunt, you didn't complain. He goes, yeah, I'm young. Oh, yeah, for a minute. Now, you mark it down. The first time I hear him groan, he gets up. I'm going to be all over him. For, ooh, yeah. Just, life is quick. It goes by fast. And then we die and have to give an account to God. Verse 27, if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. He said, Lord, when I die and stand before you, I know that you're not going to look at me and say, you're innocent. You're good. He's not going to say that. Because we're guilty. Verse 29, if I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? I'm wicked and there's no labor, there's no works, there's no deeds, there's no denomination, no religion that I can participate in to clean myself up. Verse number 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch and mine own clothes shall abhor me. I can't clean myself up. I'm still filthy. My own clothes will abhor me. Verse number 32. For he is not a man, God's not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. God is holy and just. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And he's not a man like me. And the day of judgment, I am in big trouble because he's not a man like me. Look at verse number 33. I love this. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. What is he saying? I am guilty before God. How can I justify myself before this great God? Even I can't do any works. I can't clean myself up. I'm guilty. I wish that there was somebody that could grab the hand of a holy and righteous God and grab the other hand of a vile, wicked sinner as a daysman and bring us together. Hey, you know, a daysman is a lawyer that's appointed for a specific day. It's a lawyer that you have on retainer for a specific day. Now, I've always seen this. I've seen, you know, you watch Cops or you watch something and the guy's like, oh, I'm going to call my lawyer. I don't have a lawyer. Does anybody here have a lawyer? Like, you have a lawyer. You have a lawyer. Like, he is your lawyer. Anybody here? No? Okay, John's got a lawyer. Yeah, you need a lawyer. So if I were to say to the Lord, I want to call my lawyer. Siri, find me a local lawyer. I love a lawyer. I love a daysman. Not here on earth. But I have one reserved. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man. I wish there was somebody between me and a holy God. I wish there was somebody that could bring us together. I wish there was somebody that could lay hold of a holy God and a sinful man and come together because I know I'm guilty. I know he's holy. How can I be just? I need a daysman. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. John says, if anyone sins, know that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ our Lord. From the very beginning of the question, well, how can I justify myself? We, through the whole book of the Bible, the whole Old Testament, it all points to Jesus. He is the justifier. Go back to Romans. Let me finish this up. In Romans chapter number 3. So verse number 20 is just the clue. Verse 22, here's the answer. Even the righteousness of God. Now, this is not the fact that God is righteous. This is how we get his righteousness. To be justified is to be declared innocent, right? To be justified is to be called to be righteous, named righteous, declared righteous. So in verse number 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith. Now, faith is weaved through the whole Old Testament. That those that lived in the Old Testament were not justified by their deeds. They were justified by their faith. Isn't that right? He's going to explain that again in chapter number 4. He's going to use Abraham for this. But this is what he's saying. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we have Jesus Christ, the daysman, the advocate. Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot, without blemish. Jesus Christ, and being justified by faith. What does he say in verse 22? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're guilty, and Jesus Christ died for all. He's the answer for all because all need him. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being what? Justified, how? Freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, justification is not acquired by the law or by our deeds. Justification is acquired by faith. Now look at our banner up here. We are justified by what?
Faith.
You see, the law is how a man is behaving. Faith is how a man is believing. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. A schoolmaster is more than a tutor. A schoolmaster is someone, and generally they were a slave, someone hired by the wealthy to guide their children, to keep their children out of trouble, to keep their children moral, to educate their children, but to keep them moral, to keep them straight, to keep them right, until they came of age. So very carefully, the law was given to keep people right, to keep people moral, to doing what was right, to know how holy and just God is. But it was a schoolmaster to keep us in line, to show us that we've all crossed the line, we've all fallen short, and brought us all the way to maturity in Christ Jesus. How about this one? Go to the book of Galatians. Let's end in Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. Are you with me? Galatians chapter 2. Look with me at verse number, well, I'll pick it up in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not what? Justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Back in the book of Romans chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 24 that we are saved by grace and that we're saved freely. Grace is unmerited favor. Freely means without cause. What he's saying is you didn't earn it. For by grace you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, as any man should boast. He's saying we're not saved by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we that have believed in Jesus Christ, that he might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now I want to end in verse number 21. There's so much more I could say to you. This is chapter number 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. It's clear that we acquire salvation by faith because of the grace of God. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 21 and I'm done. Chapter number 2, verse number 21. The Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate is to nullify or to render it ineffective. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead and vain. Meaning that the death of Christ is worthless and ineffective. So let me end with this, because I think this is extremely important. If you think that you're going to heaven because of some law that you kept, some work that you did, something that you learned, something that you would not do, something that your church said was supremely important, if you think that something that you bring to the table spiritually, if you think anything, any work or deed that you somehow have gotten together and to present it before God, if you're trusting in those things, oh yeah, yeah, but I'm trusting Christ too. You're not trusting both. Salvation is Christ plus nothing. Imagine looking at God, thinking that we're going to stand before God and say, God, I do thank you for sending Jesus, but you know, I got this. I appreciate that, but you know, let me tell you what I did. Well, then why did God send his son? It's like spitting in the face of Christ. Like, I don't need this. I got this. Imagine how offended the judge of all the earth is going to be when he provided a means for our justification, and we say, well, no, that's not quite good enough, God. I got this. I'll do this on my own. It's not going to go well that day. It's not going to go well. So we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We cannot frustrate the grace of God by our own works, by our own religion. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It doesn't matter that he died. You didn't need it if you thought you could earn it on your own. The truth of the matter is that we could not earn it on our own. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 28, he ends it this way. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So let me ask you this question. When you stand before the Lord, what's your plea? It's not lost on me, and I didn't know whether I was going to talk about it or not, and I just want to mention it briefly. When I'm studying the Bible, when I'm reading the scriptures and I'm studying, and something kind of goes by in the news, I can't help but think that there relates to what I've been studying. I can't help but try to bring the scriptural principle upon what's happened. And so let me just say this, and I won't name any names, but just the other day, the president's son, who has had a checkered past, we all have, right? We had a checkered past. Was fighting some legal battles. And just the other day, to the surprise of everyone, as they're picking out the jury, to the surprise of everyone, he stands up in front of the judge. The judge reads the crimes. And the president's son stood up and said, guilty on all counts. Well, you've been fighting this whole guilty on all counts. He had some gun charges in the past, and this was, he owed $1.4 million in taxes and just a bunch of things. And so everybody's shocked. Guilty? Like he declared himself guilty? How could that possibly be? Well, the final hearing is in the beginning of December. And if he didn't declare guilty, then that would have been drawn out for a long period of time. Now, this is not a political statement. This is a spiritual statement, so stay with me. Pundits are saying that he declared himself guilty so that in the beginning of December, he can get sentenced so that someone can pardon him. Listen to me. You cannot be pardoned unless you have a sentence of guilt. And he said, okay, well, I'll declare myself guilty so that my father can pardon me. Now, I'm just reading into all those things. But I am not talking about them. I'm talking about us. That we have a sentence of guilt. We're guilty. And until we swallow our pride and say, you know what, I am guilty, only then can we have a pardon from our Heavenly Father. through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Lord, I think when we